Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's message comes to us from our gospel lesson of Matthew chapter 16, in particular verse 24. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Thus far the text. My dear friends in Christ, in my junior year of high school, we came into the fall soccer season without anyone who was ready to play goalie. And so the coach began to ask if someone would be willing to do it. No one stepped up. So finally I said, "I'll try. I'd never played before." Now typically goalies, you may know, for in soccer, are tall and lanky. I'd try anyway. So I stepped into goal the first practice, and it went fine, and I let a few in, and I stopped some, and went into our first game, and we lost only 3-1, and the coach regarded that as kind of a victory for us. We were a small school, and we played a really big school, and I played okay in goal. The next game we had scheduled was with Lutheran High School North, the evil high school North. They were our bitter rivals, and they were state-ranked in soccer. This did not look good. We went into the game fully expecting to be trounced. Something happened to me that day. Some magical entity had come into me and made me the greatest soccer goalie in the history of man. We managed a 0-0 tie. And everybody was jubilant on the bus because we expected to lose 9-0. And I now had this confidence, right? Because I made some amazing saves that I shouldn't have been able to make. And here we were. We had tied a state-ranked team 0-0. So now I was the goalie. And everybody was telling me what a great goalie I was and how well I was doing. 3 days later was our next game. And we went in thinking, we've got it now. We can really turn this thing around. And we lost 10-1. Seems to me life's like that, right? You'll have these giant mountaintop moments, but you're going to have some pretty deep valleys. And more often than not, those things aren't that far apart in your life, right? You'll go from moments of jubilant celebration to some moments that are almost deep despair. Well, I want to make you feel better about that. You're not alone. We're all in that boat, and I think if you were to read chapters 16 and 17 of the book of Matthew, you'd realize Peter's in that boat. Sometimes he's trying to walk on water and sinking, but that's another gospel lesson for another day. But for today, do you remember the gospel lesson last week? Do you remember what happened? Jesus came to his disciples, and he said to them, "Who do people say that I am?" And they said, well, the top three answers on the board are, right, Elijah, John the Baptist, or Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And Jesus said, that's all well and good. Let's make it more personal. Who do you say that I am? And there was silence for a minute. And then Peter stood up and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And angels sang, right? I mean, this was the answer. This was the winning answer. And Jesus turns to Peter and says, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by men, but my Father who's in heaven. And you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." And all was great with Peter. This was a good day for Peter, right? You are the Christ. Peter probably walked around a little bit like me after that first soccer game, you know? I got it now, I know. That'd be fine if you stopped there in chapter 16, but we shouldn't do that. Because we have to go on to our gospel lesson for today. And our gospel lesson for today puts Peter back in his place in a very dramatic way. You remember what happened? Jesus begins to tell the disciples exactly what it means, this, that he's going to be the Christ. He has to go to Jerusalem and he's got to suffer at the hands of the elders and the scribes and the Jewish leaders. And he's got to be put to death. And Peter takes Jesus aside And the Greek here is exactly what you read in the English. Rebukes him. Can you imagine? Don't say that. Don't go telling the disciples you have to go and suffer. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. You know, if you tell people you're going to go and die, they're not going to follow you very far. And Jesus turns to Peter and says, what? What is he calling? Get behind me, Satan. How does Peter go from a couple days earlier, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for this was to get behind me, Satan? You want to talk about peaks and valleys? Celebration and despair? Peter didn't get it. He understood by God's grace that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, but he had no idea what that meant, and this whole suffering business seemed like nonsense to him. But Jesus is going to turn up the heat even a little more. Not only does the Son of Man have to go to Jerusalem and suffer at the hands of the elders and the scribes and the Pharisees, but Peter, you, if you want to follow me, you have to take up your cross and bear it. If you want to follow me, you have to lose your life. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. He has to rethink things. So we go from celebration, greatest confession that's ever been made about Jesus, to get behind me, Satan. I want us to go one story further, though. And it's very deliberate on Matthew's part. The very beginning of chapter 17, do you know what happens? The very next thing that's recorded is Peter, James, and John are singled out by Jesus and taken up to a mountain, and he's transfigured before them. This Peter, who was Satan a little while ago, is still loved by Jesus, still brought in by him, and taken to this mountain. And in that way, I think Peter's restored. Because he comes and he's able to see Jesus talking with Moses and Elijah. And he doesn't want to go anywhere. Let us build three shelters and we'll just stay here. Do you feel like your life's like that a little bit? Like, you're right there with God, you've got it, you understand, and then sin comes creeping in and you realize just how sinful you are and you find yourself in this deep valley of despair. What will restore you? The presence of God. And he's here with you. And he restores you. And he comes to you here in this word. In these words spoken of a Savior who died on the cross to forgive you your sins. This Savior comes to you. And he comes to you in body and blood with his presence that you might be forgiven. Just as the transfiguration in some ways restores Peter, so too God's presence, his divine presence in these things restores you. And once you're restored, then the command that Jesus gives in Matthew 16:24 can be understood. That you would take up and bear your cross and follow him. The difficulty with this is sometimes we get it backwards. As if we need to take up our cross and follow Jesus to be restored. But that isn't the way it works. And that always fails. You're restored so that you can take up your cross and follow Jesus. You are forgiven. You are redeemed. You are bought with the blood of Christ so that you can follow and bear your cross. And you're gonna bear your cross. You think about Jeremiah in the Old Testament lesson for today. If you want to know a prophet who had sort of the short end of the stick at times, it was Jeremiah. He had to say some things that nobody wanted to hear. And he was completely ostracized and at times beaten. And they tried to stone him. But he had to say these things. And he says there in our Old Testament, listen, here I am sitting by myself, Lord. I'm by myself. And what does God say to him? I am with you. I will restore you. You don't turn to them. They're going to turn to you, and you just keep speaking what I tell you to speak. God restores and equips us for service. That's bearing our cross. That's following him. He restores us, and then we're able to do that, not the other way around. If you walk your way through the Bible, you're going to discover Peter's not alone. We get on Peter a little bit because he's just the most blatant about it at times, but you're going to discover Peter's not alone. Even people like Moses, right? Moses is leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, and he's on top of the mountain, and he's their leader and the Jewish leader, and all is right, except that there are times that Moses doesn't listen to God. Speak to this rock. What? No. He didn't listen to God. Moses has peaks and valleys. David has peaks and valleys in a most dramatic way. I'm going to take this rock and this slingshot, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to knock down that Philistine. Dun, 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 you know, he's top of the world. God is with him. Oh, there's Bathsheba. Valley. But he's restored. You come to this place. You come here on Labor Day weekend. Good job. You come to this place, but you come here because you need what is given here. You come to this place to be restored. Because your weeks, my weeks, are full of peaks and valleys. And those valleys stand out in my mind. Those moments of sin. And I look back on my week and I regret this and I regret that. And oh, I wish that hadn't happened. Oh, I wish I hadn't said that. And I come to this place and I come into God's presence and receive from him restoration, forgiveness, and renewal. His body and blood, his word. And having received that restoration and renewal, I go back forth into the world ready to take up my cross and follow him again. And I'll need to be restored again because I'm a sinner living in a sinful world. But I'm going to take up that cross. Not because I'm so good, not because it's going to get me something, but because of who God has made me to be. He's restored me for that purpose, to follow him. That in following him, others may see and give glory to my Father who's in heaven. You're going to have peaks and valleys, my friends. You're going to have valleys that stick out in your mind and say, oh, I just wish that hadn't been. Know that you're restored. Know that you're forgiven. Know that the same transfigured Christ, whom Peter was able to confess in one moment and set apart in the next, that same Christ restores you. He forgives you. And he chooses to do it because he loves you. To him be the glory, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.